Midway through the journey of our life, we find ourselves in a dark wood where the straight way is lost. With these haunting words, Dante begins his epic descent into the human psyche. The Divine Comedy isn't merely a medieval religious text, it's perhaps the most profound exploration of the human condition ever attempted. Written during Dante's exile from his beloved Florence between 1308 and 1320, this work transcends its Catholic framework to speak directly to our universal struggles with morality, purpose, and redemption. The poem's opening metaphor, "Life is a journey where we can become desperately lost," resonates across centuries because we've all experienced moments of profound disorientation. Haven't we all at some point found ourselves in our own dark woods, unsure of which path to take? Imagine sin not as abstract religious concepts, but as psychological realities with their own internal logic. Dante's hell is organized as 9 concentric circles, each housing specific transgressions that grow more severe as we descend. This isn't random, it's a meticulously crafted moral universe where each punishment perfectly reflects the sin through contrapasso, counter-suffering. The lustful are eternally blown about by winds, just as in life they were swept away by passion. The gluttonous lie in filthy slush under eternal rain, becoming the waste they once mindlessly consumed. The wrathful fight each other in the muddy Styx, while the sullen gurgle beneath, perfectly capturing how anger manifests as both external violence and internal brooding. What makes the Inferno so compelling isn't its theological framework, but its deeply human characters. We meet Francesca da Rimini, whose poignant love story, "Love that excuses no one loved from loving," moves Dante to tears. Yet careful reading reveals her subtle self-justification. There's the proud Farinata degli Uberti, rising from his fiery tomb as if he held hell in great contempt, maintaining his dignity even in damnation. Most haunting is Count Ugolino, imprisoned with his children and left to starve, who tells how he watched them die one by one before hunger overcame grief. These aren't flat allegorical figures, but psychologically complex individuals whose suffering feels painfully real. Through them, Dante shows us that understanding sin requires emotional engagement, not just intellectual analysis. Dante's hell is populated with contemporary political and religious figures, a bold choice that transformed his poem into a searing critique of corruption. He places corrupt popes upside down in baptismal-like holes with flames burning their feet, a grotesque inversion of the sacrament they corrupted. Pope Nicholas III, already damned, awaits the arrival of Pope Boniface VIII, a shocking prediction considering Boniface was still alive when the poem was set. Dante's political vision extends beyond critique to offer a model of ideal governance, a universal monarchy ensuring justice while allowing the church to focus on spiritual matters. This concern with the proper relationship between moral authority and political power remains profoundly relevant. When we see today's leaders abusing power for personal gain, aren't we witnessing the same corruptions Dante condemned 7 centuries ago? Throughout his journey, Dante the Pilgrim undergoes profound change. Initially, he responds with overwhelming pity to the suffering souls, even fainting after hearing Francesca's story. But as he descends deeper, his responses become more complex, sometimes compassionate, sometimes indignant. When Virgil rebukes him for weeping at the punishment of the diviners, "Here piety lives when pity is quite dead," he's teaching Dante that true compassion requires recognizing the justice of consequences. This pattern creates a template for our own ethical development. We're invited to feel with Dante while developing moral discernment to distinguish between appropriate compassion and misplaced sympathy. Isn't this the essence of moral growth, learning to see clearly both the humanity of others and the consequences of their actions? Dante's genius lies in making abstract concepts viscerally real through extraordinary imagery. The thieves have their bodies constantly transformed by serpents, melting, merging, exchanging forms, a grotesque metamorphosis capturing how theft violates boundaries and identity. The hypocrites wear gilded lead cloaks, beautiful on the outside but crushingly heavy, just as hypocrisy presents a fair appearance while weighing down the soul. His language shifts remarkably between registers, from sublime to grotesque, from philosophical discourse to scatological humor. His extended similes connect otherworldly punishments to everyday experiences. Diviners with twisted heads walk as I have seen the storks move in their season. These comparisons ground the supernatural in the natural, suggesting that moral laws operate in our world too. Isn't this what great art does? Make visible the invisible truths of our existence. The Inferno concludes with Dante and Virgil climbing down Satan's frozen body at Earth's center, passing through the point of gravity, and emerging to see the stars once more. This powerful ending provides both closure and continuation. We've witnessed the consequences of moral failure, but the stars symbolize hope and divine guidance. The complete Divine Comedy traces an archetypal spiritual journey from recognition of sin through purification to union with divine love. What makes this medieval vision endure is its profound humanism and psychological insight. The journey through hell serves not merely to condemn, but to illuminate, showing us our darkest possibilities so we might choose differently. The dark wood where Dante begins is a place we all recognize, moments of moral confusion, spiritual crisis, or personal failure. His journey reminds us that even from such darkness, transformation remains possible. 7 centuries later, Dante's vision continues to inspire artists from Botticelli to Dali, writers from T.S. Eliot to Seamus Heaney, and even popular culture, from films like Seven to video games. Why this enduring fascination? Because the comedy addresses fundamental human questions that transcend time. How do we understand evil and suffering? What constitutes a good life? How do our choices shape our character? Dante's psychological insights that sin often disguises itself as virtue, that we rationalize our transgressions through self-deception, align with modern understanding of human behavior. In our fragmented age, his comprehensive vision reminds us that understanding the human condition requires drawing connections across disciplines and experiences. As we navigate our own dark woods, personal crises, social divisions, global challenges, Dante's journey offers both warning and hope. It confronts us with the worst of human nature while affirming our capacity for transformation. Isn't this why we still need poetry? To help us see ourselves clearly and imagine possibilities beyond our current darkness.